Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Good morning, Hope on the Beach Church. Whoa. Are you awake now?
Hello, 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 hello. It is great to see your happy, smiling faces here. I'm so glad that you could join us. My name is Rachel Harris, and I have the deep privilege of getting to be up here and see all of you sometimes on Sunday mornings, where we get to come together as a church family and worship God. So it doesn't matter if it's your first time or your 2,000th time, when you walk in the doors, your family, and we just want to say welcome home to you. And inside your worship folder, you've got this little connection card. So we'd love to hear from you. If you're here regularly, your name is fine, unless there's something you want to share. But if it's your first time with us, this is our way to get to know you. We believe God brought you here today to be with us for a reason. And this is our way to honor that reason. So anything you feel comfortable with sharing, so that we can connect with you. And if you are watching on YouTube or on our website, we want to say good morning to you guys too, and we're glad that you could join us. And tell us where you're watching from, because we love to hear from everybody. Click share to help spread the gospel. And if you want to follow along with today's message in our worship folder, you can download this. Just go to our website, and on the homepage, you'll see a PDF of this that you can click on, and you can fill in the blanks as we go. Before we get started this morning, we do have a call to worship. So at this time, if you would like to, I invite everybody to rise. Roberto is going to lead us in our worship, but stand firm in Christ. Walk in the light of His word and come worship the one who sends us forth with the gospel of peace. Amen. Hey, we invite you to raise your voices to the Lord.
I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. And now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. 'Cause I wasn't made to be tending a grave, I was called by name. Born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Hallelujah. Now I am chosen, you're free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. 'Cause I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. Thank you, Jesus. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way. I know I am yours. I was made for more. You called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah. You buried my past, I'm not going back. Hallelujah. You called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah. You buried my past, I'm not going back. So I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. Why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more. I am yours. I was made for more. You know, God has our name in His hand, written in His hands. He knows us. He created us to love one another, love Him with all our hearts, and love one another. And He sends us out into the world to be a light. But the one thing that holds true is that He can send us. We sow seeds and He does the work. I can't do it without Him. And the battle belongs to Him every single time. And sometimes those battles just keep creeping back up. And I've learned to get on my hands and knees and pray. Give it to Him. So the battles always belong to Him. When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see the mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. Amen. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, you see the empty tomb. Hallelujah. So when I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, The battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Shine through the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
All God's people said, amen, amen to that. It is a battle, you know.
Yes, it is.
And we're going to be talking about that this morning. Good morning. I'm Pastor Ray. I'm the associate pastor here at Hope on the Beach, and it's my honor and privilege to be here this morning to share with you the Word of God. I'm going to be talking about your feet today. I hope you're not offended. Turn to the person next to you and say, you've got beautiful feet. Haven't heard that today, have you? So with that, let's begin with a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Thank you, Roberto. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for a new day in which to live for you and for waking up to this beautiful weather in paradise. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit just permeate this place, that your word will not only infiltrate our ears, but our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you've been with us for the past 4 weeks, we've been talking about different body parts that we love the Lord with our mind. We're committed to God with our mind, our heart, our eyes. And last week you heard about hands. Pastor Jason talked about hands, about the hands of Jesus being nailed to the cross, and that we serve God as disciples with our hands. And today we're going to serve God with our feet, with our feet. As Christians, you got to remember, we're in a spiritual war. We are in a spiritual war. And in our culture, we see it affecting our children, the shows we watch on TV, our church. Even it's affecting, people are attacking the Word of God or attacking God himself. So we are in a battle. And it's important to recognize that we are in a battle. St. Paul wrote in Ephesians, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. It's a war. So I'm going to ask you to draw your sword this morning, which is the Word of God. And we're going to be talking about how to wield the Word of God as a soldier of Christ. And your first instruction is found in your bulletin, Ephesians 6, 14 through 15, and it says this. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, Ephesians 6. That's Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And as important as the belt is, and as important for battle, as important as a breastplate is for battle, if you don't have good footwear, you're not going to make it through war. You've got to have good footwear. In fact, Josephus, who was a Roman historian, said the reason that the Roman soldiers were so successful in battle is because the Romans had invented boots that they wore in battle, and sometimes they had to march several miles to get to battle. And if you didn't have good footwear, by the time you got there, your feet were so full of blisters that you couldn't fight. So our footwear, you need to cover your feet, he says here, with the shoes of the gospel. That protects your feet, the gospel. The gospel provides our footing for everything we do as disciples. And how do you do that? Well, number one in your bulletin, God secures our feet in his what? Word. In his word. You know, Jesus said that, and this was way more effective this morning on the beach. How many of you built sandcastles ever? Anywhere at Hope on the Beach? Well, you know, you build a sand, my grandkids and I, I got six grandkids, by the way. We build sandcastles, and we try to build them real close to the shore. You know why? Because the water comes in, you can build a moat. It's so cool. And so we let the water hit it by, but by when high tide comes in, guess what happens to the sandcastle? It's gone. And Jesus was referring to that when he says, if you build on sand, it's going to collapse, whatever you build on. So build on the rock, and he is the rock. The gospel is the rock. We've got to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. And that leads me to the next one, is disciples of Christ. A, we walk in the light of God's Word. The Bible says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Anybody hear Amy Grant sing that? Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. It's so true, because a lamp shows you where to put your feet. And it lights the way so that you know what path to take. Years ago, when I was doing youth ministry, we did what I called a blind retreat. And we had 30 kids, and I bought professional blindfolds. And what they were, ski masks that were painted black, is what they're, in essence, what they were. So you could open your eyes, but you couldn't see anything. It's total darkness. So we went for 10 hours on a Saturday, a 10-hour blind retreat, and the kids couldn't take off their masks. And we had all these games and stuff for them to play. We played blind run, blind baseball. We ate three meals blindfolded. We did a blind field trip. We did all this stuff. And one of the things we did was a blind maze. We set tables up like in a room about this size. And we had tables and chairs. And I had four youth counselors helping me with this. 30 kids. And the object was for you to walk through the maze blindfolded and listen for instructions. Now, here's the catch. Three people are going to be telling you we're going to be lying to you, basically. And one person will be telling you the truth. Go left, go left. And you had to decide which person was telling you the truth as you were going through the blind maze. So you're bumping into a chair, you're bumping into a table. And so the last girl to go through the maze, we told her who to listen to. And when she listened to that girl, afterwards she said, you know, the other three people started yelling louder, and it was really hard to hear her. Because the other three people wanted to influence me and drown her out. Does that sound familiar? How much time do you spend listening to God and into the world? Is the world trying to drown out God's voice in your life? Who are you listening to? If you walk in darkness, you get lost. But if you walk by the light of God's word, the light of God's word, you will be living in his power and growing in your relationship with him. And that brings me to my memory verse for today. Will you say this with me? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. That's 1 John 1:7. It begins with the big word, but if, and that's called a clause. That means nothing else will happen only if you walk in the light. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, here's the good news. God is light. If you walk in the light, then you're walking with God. And then you're walking with the rest of your brothers and sisters in Christ, because we're all walking in the light together. And I can say I love you because the Bible says love one another as God, as I have loved you. And if you're my brother and my sister and we're walking in the light, we know it and we feel it and we see it. And we have this camaraderie with each other because we're brothers and sisters and we have a common goal, that is to share the gospel and get through this world to the glory of God in everything that we do. How is this possible? Well, the clue is in the blood of Jesus, his son cleanses us from all our sin. You got that part? That means we're separated from God. Thank you, Adam and Eve. I would have done it if they didn't. But we're separated from God because of sin and because of the blood of Jesus. And we're not only separated from God, we're separated from one another. Remember Cain killed Abel? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're separated from one another. But because of the blood of Jesus, he cleanses us from all of our sins. And that means we have a relationship with God. We can have a relationship with God, and we can have a relationship with each other. Sin separates us, but God's love for us brings us back together again. And when we walk in the light, we also walk in his be love. We walk in his love. And our scripture is from 2 John 6. It says this, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. You know, you can tell me you love me, but I want you to show me that you love me. And that's what Scripture is all about. Scripture defines love by actions. True love is just not a feeling. It is an action word, a daily choice that we make. How many people have ever heard of the five love languages? Y'all heard of the five love languages? Do you know what yours is? More importantly, do you know who your spouse is? That's what's important, that you love your spouse using their love language. And it's an action word. That word, love language, is an action word. And if you don't know anything about love languages, see me after church today and I'll help you out. Okay, there are five of them. But Scripture defines love by actions. True love is not just a feeling. It's something that you do. Jesus modeled the sacrificial, selfless love when he died on the cross. Basically, when he was born of a virgin on Christmas that we celebrate, that was sacrifice on his part. And he says, do as I do. So he's commanding his followers to love like he loves. And the term walk means it's a continual thing. It's not just a once in a moment thing. It's going to be a habit, a lifestyle, not just a sporadic act. And that brings me to our next point. God empowers us to walk humbly. And the verse that we have is from Micah 6:8, and I love this verse. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Three things, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. This is a summary of practical things that we as Christians are supposed to be doing as his disciples. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. And the one that we have the most trouble with is, guess which one? That last one, walk humbly. Remember Mac Davis? Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble. Why? When you're perfect in every way. You know, that's us. We think we're perfect. You know, if you just saw things the way I saw things, things would work out really well, you know, because of my perfect perspective, you know? You tell it to your wife sometimes, yeah, you better not, guys. But the one that we have trouble with is being humble. Why is that? Well, because the middle letter of the word pride is what? I. It's all about me. It's all about me. One year, our youth group decided to do a Christian concert at the Billy Bowlegs Festival, and it's going on right now in Fort Walton Beach. It's a bunch of pirates take over the city, and they did last night, and called Billy Bowlegs. And we decided, as part of the Billy Bowlegs Festival, we would enter into the activities, and we would bring in a Christian band. You know, the Doobie Brothers said, taking it to the streets. Well, we're going to be taking it to the beach. And we did a concert at the park next to the, it's called, what is the name of that park? It used to be called Wayside Park, next to the pier in Okaloosa Island. So we brought in a Christian band called Mylon LeFevre and Broken Heart from Atlanta, Georgia. Anybody heard of Mylon? Yeah, some of it. And it was a great opportunity to insert a Christian band into a secular festival. We had thousands of people come out to this beach concert, and it was free. So how we paid for it is the kids in our youth group went and collected aluminum cans, and we would fill up the back of my pickup truck with aluminum cans, and we'd go sell them and recycle them. They paid you for them back then. and to make money. And the best place to find aluminum cans is on the beach, at the parks, where all the tourists drink their beer and their Cokes and stuff, and then they throw the cans, because you can't take glass on the beach, so the cans were everywhere. So we would go, when the sun was going down, everybody's leaving the beach, and we would go and collect aluminum cans. And sometimes, again, we'd fill the back of my truck up. Occasionally, we would go, can imagine this, you're there with your garbage bag, going through the garbage, and people are looking at you, mommy, mommy, that man is hungry, you know? So you look like a homeless person, seriously, because you had to dig through the garbage. Occasionally, we would go at noon, to go collect cans, because the county would come with their truck, and so we had to beat the county. And if you needed to be humbled, and you say, oh, I can't do that, well, yeah, you're the one that's got to do that. You're going to get the cans by that garbage can with all those girls over there, okay? That's, you need to be humbled. And it became a big joke with our crew that if you needed to be humbled, you'll be the one that's going to be digging in the garbage can next to the girls, okay? And it was a great concert. They were, like I say, a very successful concert. And the only reason we were able to pull it, only reason we pulled it off is because God empowered us to walk humbly. It wasn't about us. It was about Jesus, bringing Jesus to the beach. And whatever it took to get the Word of God on the beach, we would do it, even if it meant digging in garbage cans. We're bringing Jesus to the beach. And our motivation to proclaim the good news was number two in your outline. Our feet are sent to follow God's call. You know, the last thing Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended into heaven, and we call this the Great Commission, was this. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You know, I heard that my brother Steve preached on 393 at Ed Walling Park, and someone told me he said that he talked about as you go. And this is what Jesus was saying. As you are going in your daily routine, as you go along your day, preach Jesus, make disciples. Jesus didn't go more than 200 miles from his own hometown. But it wasn't about how far he traveled. It's about what he said when he did travel. And the same thing is true for us. This directive that we have is to make disciples. And it's to be a part of our daily life. And we think as Jesus thought, I want you in heaven. I want you to be in heaven with me. And that's what we are to do. And it brings me to your outline. First, to be a disciple, we are to go and make disciples. If you are a disciple, you are to go and make disciples. Disciples make disciples. That was Jesus's plan all along. And the first thing you notice at the Great Commission is that you're not making Christians, you're making disciples. You know, the idea so many churches have is that we'll give an altar call, people will respond. You know, they'll walk up front and, you know, they'll pray a prayer and then we'll dunk them and then we'll give them some literature, put them on the rolls of the church and they success. That falls way so far short of what Jesus said that we are to do. That's okay. I'm not demeaning that, but it goes beyond that. Jesus said, let a man deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We die to sin, we lay down our lives for him. Lord, take my life. And that's what this is all about. This is what it means to follow him. Someone who believes in Jesus for eternal life, that he's my Savior. But he's not only your Savior, he's your Lord. And as your Lord, we follow him and do what he does. In other words, we cry over the things that Jesus cries over. Lost souls. Who would you give your life for? Jesus gave his life for you. We get angry with the things that make Jesus angry. We put in perspective, the things that Jesus holds in perspective. What's more important? You know, I've said this to you before, and I'll remind you in case you didn't hear this. I have a bucket list, and you're on it. Years and years ago, I mean, I wanted to go to the Grand Canyon. Anybody been to the Grand Canyon? I'd never been to the Grand Canyon. I saw a documentary on it. That was good. I put it on my big screen TV, and I turned up the sound. It was kind of cool. I wanted to go to Israel. No, ain't going to happen. I'd get bombed over there, maybe. I wanted to do this. I wanted to ride a bull named Fu Manchu and, you know, do skydiving. You know, I never did any of that. And then one day it dawned on me, when I get to heaven, I'm looking down at my life, what would I wish I would have done differently? I'm doing that now. Because the only thing I can take to heaven is you. Other people telling them about Jesus. No one who has ever got to heaven ever said to themselves, I wish I'd have brought some of my gold or my money or my watch or my diamonds or my car. It's not important. What does Jesus see as being the highest priority in our lives? Jesus' plan was to make disciples who would in turn make disciples, who would in turn make more disciples. And one of the reasons for the decline of Christianity is because we've been failing at making disciples. Making disciples has been neglected so long that I think there's a crisis in the American church. I mean, there are people, churchgoers, pew sitters, but disciples? Few professing Christians are living as disciples, and even fewer are making disciples. And when we fail to make disciples, if we fail to be the salt of the earth, the world suffers. You can see it. The world suffers. Making disciples is not just me giving you information. It's me showing you how to live your life and us living our lives together and following Jesus. And the big part of making disciples means that B, we are to teach obedience. And that's in your outline. We are to teach obedience. You know, when Jesus commands us to make disciples, he intends for us to lead our lives, be an example of obedience to him so others would see, like, wow, you really believe what you believe is really real, don't you? Let me say that again. Do you believe what you believe is really real? If you do, then you're going to live your life accordingly. You know, this is intentional living. And, you know, Christ summarized all the commandments in loving God and then loving your neighbors. And the best way we can do that is three in your outline. Our feet carry the good news. You know, one of the reasons that Christians plateau in their spiritual life is they had never discovered the joy of letting God use you, being a conduit of God's love to other people. It is so wonderful to be a conduit of God's good news, to share God's news to people, to pray with people, to have people say to you, man, I needed that today. I needed you to tell me about my faith, about your faith. And being a conduit of God's love that should cause us to lift our eyes away from the attraction of this world to the next world. Do you live your life in light of eternity, or do you live your life for the moment? We're going to be together forever as Christians. And we need to take our eyes off the lesser things that vie for our attention, that ensnarl us, and we entertain ourselves to death, unfortunately. But we're so distracted, we don't see the mission field that Jesus says is white for the harvest. You know, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he had a sense of, I just know he had a sense of urgency in his voice. That we should love the way Jesus loved, that we should care the way Jesus cared, and we should seek to do God his will. And the world is filled with so many people that are hurting, are lost, and they want to know that someone loves them, that God loves them, that God has a plan for their life, and he gives them eternal life. And as Jesus called his disciples to see the harvest and to join him, he's called us to join him in the harvest. I read a story a long time ago, and it stuck with me, and I'm not going to, I can't relay the whole story because it's too long. I'll give you a summary. It is the vision of Pastor Booth, Wilkins Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army. I don't agree with their theology, but this vision that he had is so unbelievable. He was riding on a train looking out the window, and as he did, God showed him something. He said there was this great body of water, and it was turbulent waves, and it was dark, and it was lightning, and it was raining, and it was horrible. In the middle of that ocean was a huge rock, and the rock had a platform around it. And on the platform were people who had been rescued. Because out in that dark water were people bobbing up and down, and they were drowning. And he said that there were lifeboats out there rescuing people, but there were only a few lifeboats. And all the people that had been rescued before were getting on with their lives, paying little attention to what was going on out in the water. And he said, and there was one guy yelling out there, and his name was Jesus, and he was yelling to the people on the rock, "Come help me, come help me, I need help." And they said, "Well, we'll pray for you, Jesus." And that vision that Jesus comes to your door and you turn him away and you smile and say, "God bless you, be at peace," and all heaven just weeps because Jesus came to your door and you left him out on the streets. And it just, you really, that story I read about 30 years ago. And God is calling us to make a difference in the world in which we live. And that leads me to A. Our call is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a guy named Saint Francis of Assisi, who was an Italian Catholic friar. And this quote has been attributed to him, and I'll tell you right now that it's not. You've heard it attributed to him. He said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." You ever heard that quote? He never said that. What he said was, "Make your deeds match your words. Make your deeds match your words." But he never said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." You know, St. Paul writes this in Romans 10. We got a slide for that. Romans 10, 14 says this. "How then will they call upon him whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." You know, the verse before this says, verse 13 says, "Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And it begs the question, how can they call upon the name of the Lord if they haven't heard? That's where you and I come in. There are so many people spiritually lost and helpless. Who will they call to rescue them? How will they call upon the name of Jesus if they don't know his name? Who will listen to them? Who will answer their cry? You know, the world is asleep in the night. And the sad thing is that the church is asleep in the light. And it's time to wake up, to gear up. God is calling you. You're the one. You're the one. How will those who are lost in the darkness find their way? And we are the church. We are to be the light of the world. And our next one is in B, we carry the light of the world. Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You know, the only description that Jesus uses to describe his followers that he also applies to himself, he didn't call you a shepherd. He doesn't call you the door. He doesn't call you the path. He doesn't call you the way. He calls you the light. And that's a description he uses for himself. You are the light. And when light comes into a room, it exposes the darkness. You ever been around somebody and they use a bad word and they go, "I'm sorry," because they respect your Christianity? But you're the light. You shine the light. And remember, your strength lies in God, the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not called to make Christians. The Holy Spirit does that. We are called to make disciples, though. And God will give you the courage. Stay focused on the mission. Embrace the challenge, the opportunity to speak the words of Jesus to people, to encourage them. Fear not the unknown. Oh, there's a lot of unknowns in this world. Are you scared of Martians and UFOs yet? Okay. There's a lot of unknowns in this world. Let not your heart be troubled, though. Let your hearts be fierce. Let your spirit be unyielding. Because Jesus said, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. Let's join Jesus. He's out in the field. He needs help. And we're being called to be that help in his work. You pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, and I pray that no one listened to me today, that they listened to you. Lord, and that they heard your word and it touches their hearts. And Father, I just pray that that you would continue to move us by the power of your Holy Spirit to proclaim the goodness of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that as we do that, as we sow seeds, that you will make and cause those seeds to grow into disciples. We ask that you would strengthen us in our duty to read your word, to grow in your word, and to spend time working in the field with you. Lord, you've called us into the field. May we join you. And we thank you, Lord, I just thank you for everyone here this morning, everyone who was on the beaches this morning that heard your word. May you continue to kindle faith in their hearts. And may we continue to reach out. May we continue to be the light of hope in this county. For we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who has further taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Well, Pastor Ray is telling us that he's calling us. We have a mission. And here at Hope on the Beach Church, our mission is awakening hearts to Jesus every day. And you have an opportunity to do that if you would like to come to our membership class, which is going to be this Tuesday at 6:30 here at Hope, and learn more about our mission and how we work to accomplish that mission. Learn about our vision that God has given us to help spread the gospel, and explore the possibility of becoming a member here at Hope on the Beach Church. And at the very least, you're going to be served food. So come and learn, no matter what your decision is, and eat and fellowship with us this coming Tuesday evening. Inside of your worship folder, you've got an offering envelope. If you would like to give today, you can place your offering in the envelope, or you can go to hopeonthebeach.com to give online. You can use our text to give number. All that information's right here inside of your worship folder. And on the back of your connection card, we have some ways for you to strengthen your relationship with Jesus. We got a QR code you can scan there to find out information. And also, if you feel like you are being called to serve the Lord, we have opportunities for you there too. So at this time, if you would like to take your offering envelope and your connection card, you can put them in the plates on your respective side. And we're going to keep worshiping here with Roberto.
Look at the flowers and all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder, you know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply everything I need, everything I need. And my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide, my Father has it. Look at sparrows. Lacking for nothing.